Thank you. So, hi everybody, and welcome. I'm Briar Welch, and I'm your current Classified Senate Vice President. And I'm so excited to welcome you to episode 5. Can't believe we've had 5 episodes so far of the Classified No More podcast with our guest, Nikki Harris, who is the Vice President of Human Resources. If you have missed any of our previous podcasts, please feel free to check them out. They are all on our website, and you can see all of them. The Classified No More podcast was created by classified employees as a way to help break down barriers at College of Marin and to help fellow classified employees become more comfortable exploring a wide range of topics, departments, and people at the place where we come to work almost every single day. The Classified No More podcast hopes to provide a forum for us to get to know each other on a deeper level and to dig deeper into the areas of College of Marin that might feel a little bit less accessible to classified employees, hence the double meaning of the word classified and the word no. So we hope that the Classified No More podcast serves as one of the many, many mechanisms, such as participation in Caring Campus or a participatory governance system, to help classified employees feel connected to both to College of Marin and to each other. If you would like more information about joining the Classified Senate or learning more about what the Classified Senate does, or even suggesting who we might interview next, or any of the other many opportunities available to us as classified employees, please feel free to reach out. So without further ado, I will hand it over to Sally Wong, who is our Classified Senate President. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Briar. So, welcome to our episode 5, as Briar welcomed us. And we want to especially welcome our Vice President of Human Resources, Nikki Harris. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Happy summer.
So we're excited to have a conversation with you today. We'll just jump right in. So, by way of introduction, could you tell us about your role at College of Marin and how long you worked here? Anything else you wanted to add?
Yes, my role here at the college, first of all, you all probably noticed the actual Zoom name says Nakota. That is my real name. I like to go by Nikki because a lot of people say, oh, like South Dakota, North Dakota. And I'm like, no, it's not spelled nothing like that. But so I have been going by Nikki for at least 20 years. And then of course, when someone mentions my real name, I feel like, oh, it's more than likely my dad, and I feel like I'm in trouble. So I prefer to be called Nikki. I have been with the college for 10 years, and I have been in human resources for over 20 years, working in the pu public sector and the private sector. I was born and raised in Oakland, California. So I'm a Bay Area native, but I've also lived in Atlanta, Georgia for many years in my adult life. HR, one of the things we do here at the College of Marin, I cannot do my role. I have to first shout out to my staff, wonderful HR, amazing HR professionals that ensure that we are employing qualified individuals to work for the College of Marin to meet the mission of our district through whether it's employee labor relations, recruitment and retention, classification and compensation, performance eval, consultation, coaching, career advancement, career development, professional development, benefits, wellness, and a faucet of many functions that happen within the HR world. So that's a little bit about my role here at the college.
I think from your list, it sounds like a lot, or it is a lot, that sometimes we
It's a
don't
lot.
realize human resources includes, like you said, wellness and more than just employment. So
Yes.
that's great. So to start us off, could you share with us something about you that we wouldn't know by looking at you?
Well, I have a few things, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. So one of the things, and I'm gonna say this because everyone may not know, but I know some people do know. That's one. I do not like animals. So if everybody knows that it's an open form, I've said it many a time. So if someone is new to the district and they never met me, I am not an animal lover. I'm actually very fearful of them. But I will say working at the college over the last 10 years has helped a little bit with that phobia. So that's one. Two, I love crime shows, documentaries like Dateline 2020. Don't ask me why. I really love listening to criminal podcasts, different things like that. I don't know what it just interests me, and the ID channel has a lot of them. So it's some interesting murder mysteries out there, and there I like the real ones, not fictional. Like they actually happen in real life. And then the last thing I will say, looking at me, you wouldn't know, I was actually born on the 4th of July.
Well, happy early birthday.
Thank you. Thank
This is
you.
sweet. Great.
Let's just say it gets forgotten a lot because it's the country's birthday. So I end up trying to find different ways to celebrate besides the country birthday.
Well, you're guaranteed a holiday in your
I
birthday,
am
which is
always
nice.
it's a holiday.
Great. I wanted to go back to your comment about animals. So, is it just wild animals or all animals you don't
It's
like?
actually all I have to
All?
say. I try to, my dad has dogs, and they have our last name. I struggle with that too, because but I know dog lovers and all of that. Like, I am fearful of dogs, but I can be around them, but I keep my distance, if that makes any sense.
So no pets for you.
No pets for me.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Not going for, and nothing will change that, you think?
Probably
Okay. Okay. Just checking.
not. Like, I do. It's one
Okay.
of those things where I don't know. I had this experience when I was a little girl growing up in Oakland, and I got chased by a dog. And ever since then, I have just been traumatized by them. And then imagine a dog. So anything else is even more, a little, I struggle with it. But I will say over the years, I do think I've gotten a little better with it.
I could definitely relate, being chased by a dog too.
Yeah.
So totally understand. So I know this is a very standard interview question. So we thought we would ask you, tell us a little more about yourself, something you haven't shared already. Like, how would you answer that if you were in an interview, for example?
Well, I would say, you tell me what, like if I was interviewing for a job, tell me a little bit about yourself. I kind of already mentioned a little bit of it, right? I prefer to be called Nikki. I love the work I do in human resources. I once again, that's the reason why I've been in it for over 20 years. But I really believe that employees are the center and the wheel of the organization. If you want to achieve your mission, you have to have a strong workforce in place. And the primary thing is to ensure that their wellness is intact so they can help succeed, right, with the goals and the responsibilities and the obligations of their duties and position. And so that means we have to make sure that people are getting the tools and resources they need to do their job. And sometimes those can be scarce, depending on the area of budget, depending on the situation, software, et cetera. So there's always a way to find how do we make that more efficient, and ensuring that employees have that to do their job. I think that is probably one of my biggest passions is trying to ensure that happens because it's all tied to the success of the institution. I will say one of my greatest experience I've had in just overall about myself is working in the private sector is very different than working in the public sector. I come sometimes refer to it as more volatile. It's more volatile because the changing in the regulations from the state and federal, and if it's not governed by whether you're in a union environment or the state ed code, Title V, things could be and have to change overnight. So HR in that world, they tend to have more reactionary responsibilities or due to different things that's changing in the private sector. And when I say the public sector is a little bit more structured, and it's governed, the governance continues to be more consistent. If there's a change, you go through a process and so forth. So I will say my experience to have to kind of navigate and pivot in a private sector, I think was one of those things that really I do think strengthened my HR experience, because you didn't have time to think, you had to kind of think on your feet, be more responsive, immediately address things. And that's kind of helped me take a look back to think in terms of policies, procedures, like how to apply those quicker, faster, what's the reference to go to, the research I need to find right away. So it was just such a difference between the two. But I also think it was my love for higher ed kept me here. It brought me right back, and I have been there ever since. And then other than that, I think that is probably the thing. I mean, I have a few hobbies I can share about me that I like. I definitely like shopping. Nordstrom's, TJ Maxx, and Marshall's are my favorite stores. And I like to just browse. And then another thing about me that I'm a proud auntie. Like, I have four nieces and one nephews, and they are the center of my world. I love to spend time with them. My sisters and my brother, they'll drop them off for the weekend, and then they just destroy my house, and I love it. I'm tired when they're gone, but I love spending time with them. I love engaging with them. I think sometimes when you're doing work in HR, you can go through a really rough week. And just rough times, challenging times, and then you look at a child and they're just happy and go lucky. They just make things like this world is that this is our future. This is it's not just about the everyday work and hustle. You can have time to just sit back and watch different cartoons and stuff with them and enjoy them. I will say I feel like I'm their servant when they're here, but I don't mind it at all. I will say they are very spoiled by me, but I love spoiling them. And I tell my sister and my brother, that's my job is to spoil them. So that's a little bit about me.
What are the age ranges of your nieces and
I
nephews?
have a niece. She's 21 years old. She just graduated from Cornell University. And I have another niece who is 17 years old. And she goes to high school in San Francisco at LIC. And then I have a nephew. He is 8 years old. And I have two nieces. I call them COVID babies because they were born during COVID. They have a little spicy in them too. They are three and th they're both 3 years old, and they are a handful.
Quite a range
Yes,
of ages.
it
I guess give us a, I can picture it now in your house. Great, thank you for sharing. So what is one experience from your past that shapes who you are today?
I would say the private, like working. So in 2010, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and I started working for this nonprofit, focusing on social. It was in the social work field. It was very different. I've never worked in that field at all. I've always been either in the transportation field or the higher ed field. So the social work was very different. And I will say I do think that changed the directory of my career, because social services focus solely on people, providing services to people. In this particular organization, they were providing services to people with developmental disabilities, mental health, as well as elder care. And it did require me to really think about when we had to go out and hire people, ensuring the sourcing was people who really had passion for the work, because the work is not easy. It was probably one of the hardest jobs I did, because I had to recruit people to really want to do this work. And that work, dealing with people that have developmental disabilities, mean you may encounter very challenging times when they're not in a good mood, or different things happen that they can't control. Can you handle that? So trying to find people to do that work was very, very challenging. And I will say the biggest one was one time I had to go into this in mental health institution and recruit, because they were closed. The state of Georgia closed down a lot of their state mental health facilities. And what they did was outsource them to providers. So providers are people who wanted to start a business and kind of support those individuals. And it was eerie going through that, having that experience, because I got to see the true things that were people were challenged with in those facilities, as well as the people who did the work in it. And it was probably, I've never seen anything like it. It was sometimes I felt like it was some way out of a movie script of how it looked. But when I met with the employees there, I clearly knew I was in the right place at the right time, where I was going to be able to get people, good people, to come and do the work for our organization at the time. And a lot of it had to do with their compassion for the work that they were doing, the compassion for people wanting to help. They either were touched by with their own experience, or they were there was legacy from what their parents and so forth did. So it was a very enlightening experience for me. And I definitely felt that was a success for me, because when I left, I was able to get at least 10 people hired from going to that actual job fair there. But I will say the private sector change, it did change my life, because I think having that experience helps me apply what I do at Calm and other higher eds different, very differently. I look at the world differently in the work that we do in HR.
I wonder if because you're recruiting a certain type of, employee, if that sort of like grew your level of compassion, maybe
Did.
for a population that maybe you didn't have a lot of experience
Right.
with.
Yeah. And then applying that across the board. Like, I feel like once I gained it, I never got rid of it, right? It became a part of who I am. So that was really, I will never forget that time. I remember when I left the organization, I called my boss and I just thanked her, because I feel like I was a totally different person when I left than when I came in.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. So I'm not sure if you would do something else, but if you weren't working in human resources, would there be another field? Like if you were to have a do-over maybe down the road, like and why?
I think, I don't even know if I would say, because I did it before, I would probably be event planner, a wedding planner, because when I was in my younger years, I used to throw a lot of baby showers, bridal showers, and different things like that. I just like starting from nothing and ending in something grand and beautiful, and everyone's happy and smiling. So I think I will be that. I will explore that more. I remember when I was in college, I wanted to be a lawyer, and that changed immediately after my second semester. I was like, don't think I want to be a lawyer.
Plus the crime shows.
Yes.
Still that interest, but a little distance, right?
Yeah, there's a connection there.
Great. I was thinking, maybe you thought about law, so Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, human resources seems to fit you. You fit the industry, so we're glad to have you at Algebra. And so, we have an audience of, classified professionals, and our podcast is, designed for us. How do you connect with classified employees in your own department and across other departments? Because obviously you're in the business of people, human resources, right?
And it's interesting because the industry, and you probably already know, some of the industry is changing their name from human resources to culture and people. You see this different title changes that's happening over the course of the last couple of years. I will say I will first start with my staff, and I've already shared, like, one of the things I really think connects me is when I first came to the College of Marin, I really focused, my focus was internally, as I felt that it to support the college, I really need to look at what support staff needed in order for them to do their job to support you all. I spent a lot of time in retreats with my staff, as well as one-on-ones. I have an open door policies. I ensure that we do. If we have water cooler talk, if we all walk in, we're gonna talk. We pop into each other's offices. We sit down. COVID was challenging, but we found a way. Teams was our saving grace. That's how we were able to communicate, be each other's support system. And I will say, I show up every day for my staff. My goal is to show up and be there for them every single day. If they need something, I want to be accessible and available to them. And even though things could be challenging in my world, it's challenging in their world as well, right? And I think one of the things I try to do is a lot of people don't know what we do in HR. I think people perceive our department, or just in human resources in general, it doesn't even have to be specific to the College of Marin, as if it's HR, we're in trouble, instead of viewing us as a partnership or a collaborative opportunities. It is looked at as we're in trouble, when in actuality, that power doesn't necessarily lie with us. It lies with our policies and procedures. And a lot of that is implemented from the management level, right? If we're whoever's supervising you, that's where it should be coming from. We just ensure that you're following those things. And for the purposes of my staff, they get the brunt of it. They get a lot of just a lot of things that is completely out of their control, but they're quick to let me see if I can solve it. Or they're coming to me to solve it, or I'm going to them and say, hey, this come up, tell me, what do you want to do? What do you think is the best way to do it? So there's a lot of interpersonal connection with the staff. I believe in group synergy. If we're out of sync, they all gonna know it. And I tell them, we're out of sync. Let's get on the same page. And we do. We tend to meet almost every day, just to deal with day-to-day stuff. We like to show up for each other, and I have them do that. If you got your, I got your back, you got my back to take care of stuff. When if I can't take something else, someone else, a volunteer to take it. And that collaborative work, I think, is just really makes us a cohesive team. That a lot of people don't see the work that happened in the background that I would love people to see. When I'm out in the community, as you know, I attend quite a few different events on campus. I walk on campus depending on where it is. Like IVC, I tend to not walk as much on that campus. Hint, hint.
You might run into some deer, you
Exactly,
know.
exactly. It's other things amongst that. But there's always a hello. There's always, especially there's so many times that I've done, I brought in different facilitators to handle certain issues within the departments. And my goal was to solve their issues that probably wouldn't be able to get there if it wasn't a third party coming in to kind of just help be that neutral person. And from those experiences, just connecting with people, learning what they do, you know, something similar. We're asking them, tell us about yourself, getting to know them more on a personal level. I think that is something that helps me connect more with classified staff, because when I see them in the community, I stop and I speak, or I say hi, or if we're serving on the community a committee or something like that, I'm ensuring I'm engaging with them as well. And then, of course, it's advocating. In my department, all my staff is primarily classified, so my goal is to ensure they feel supported, heard, and they have a voice. I think that is overall my goal, is for that to have for classified employees.
Yeah, sounds like you have a great connection with your staff, you know, and hopefully if there are any kind of issues among, we don't get to choose our coworkers, right?
Right, exactly.
But hopefully, you guys can apply whatever conflict resolution you're helping all these other departments, within your own. I'm assuming, not everything is smooth, as all
Is not.
departments are going to have, learning how to work together is
And because we're people, right? We're
Mm-hmm.
people, we're human. And I think one of the things that's important to know, like same with HR, like we're human, right? And I think sometimes people think we're not, or they just see the department, not the people in the department, who also, we have feelings, we care about things too, but we also have a job to do. And I think sometimes that can, there's a balance there that we have to float.
Yeah. And I'm hearing a lot of that compassion that you shared from your earlier experience kind of, passed on in your how you manage. So I wanted to comment on that. So can you share a moment or story that made you feel especially proud to be part of this college?
I have so many. But I am going to say, I will say our response to the pandemic. And I will only say that because I have multiple colleagues throughout the community college system that sits where I sit, and hearing their stories were very concerning. And I think for us, how quickly we were able to go online within a week, how quickly we was able to get things up and running out of the community colleges, all of them. The College of Marin was the only one, the only college continue to recruit to the point where our prior president, Dr. David Rancoon, had presidents reaching out to him and asked how you guys joined the process. And Kirsten and Julie had drafted this great process on how we can continue this all virtually and still obtain the staff we need to do the work. And he actually shared that document with all the presidents of the community. And people start doing recruitments by following that. That's probably one of the best things I think happened to us, because we were on the forefront of it, in ensuring that we continued to operate. We just needed to do it differently than what others. Also, how quickly employees responded to the vaccination requirements. People were what was very responsive. We had a 98% response rate for people just getting in their vaccines. It went way more smoother. Once again, I'm hearing colleagues, what did you do? What's process? I'm sending them my process. So I think overall, I mean, I'm sure everyone have their own experience, but I think from my lens, I watch employees go through a lot. But just the whole idea of the challenging things with the pandemic, working from home, to getting sick, to family getting sick, to family members passing away, just it was just a lot. And at one point, I did not feel I was actually doing HR anymore. I was having to be a doctor, having to be a nurse, because you have to learn all this stuff and then able to implement it at the institution. And it was just a lot of work in the background to ensure that we still operated, even though no one was on campus, but of course, some of our custodial staff and so forth. And then having to connect with them a few times, I came in to the office during the pandemic to ensure that we were able to capture the employees that were on campus as well to address any issues that they had. So it was just a, to me, it went better than what I know other districts experienced. And I think it's something we can be proud of.
When you share that, I was thinking ever after the pandemic, you can interview on Zoom. I don't know that that was really an option before.
It just wasn't utilized nowhere near. Well, as you know, Zoom became the staple after that,
Of
right? I mean,
course.
if I wish I would have invested in stocks at that time. I mean, I just missed opportunity, but who would have knew we had a pandemic? But we had that option. We just didn't do it often. We had no one really, and it was a different kind of like logistical setup that we had to do where people weren't working from home. They would all have to come in the office, and then there would be Andy would put up the screen and the mic and all of that, and then the person would call in. And so we kind of tried to avoid it as much as possible because the logistics behind it was so much. But I think it changed how the world interview for positions going forward. It has. It doesn't neglect that in person is still a optimal, it's just an optimal solution, but we also try to be mindful of people don't have to spend money on airfare, people don't have to kind of be taxed with getting to the college, but still find a way to get them connected to the college in some way.
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's a lot of benefits. I'm sure, like you said, we still in person is so much more, very much preferred, but at least there's an option that there used to be that I think more or less we're kind of used to it. It's a vocabulary, that we didn't used to have, so that's
I
great.
think it served us well. I think there's benefits to it, and then of course there are some downsides to it. But overall, I think it even helped us. We're doing this now, and
True, true.
it's
That's
in this platform. So
right. So next question, how does HR balance college-wide policies with the individual needs of employees?
ooh, that is a hard one. You know, I often get people tell me they don't want my job. I actually was told that yesterday. Like it's told to me quite a bit. I don't want your job, Nikki. And I think it's because they look at this balance that has to happen. One of the things I do look at is I try to look at every situation with through an equity lens. And what is the best outcome? I am very much aware that I cannot solve every problem, but I can try. I can connect people to others. I can connect them to resources. But I know the balance has to become more of, are we in compliant with the policies, procedures, the collective bargaining agreement, and is there room to be able to meet the employee needs? And where in somewhere in the middle, there's a compromise. There may be, you know, sometimes there's a yes and no answer. There's also a maybe, right? Or there may be wiggle room to make adjustments depending on what the request is. So I always answer that question, well, it depends on the situation. One of the things I try to do is, even if the answer is no, I try to provide resources to be able to at least address partial of what I can solve. But it is something that's very challenging to do. But I think once if you lead with integrity and compassion and empathy, sometimes people just want to be heard. To be honest, they wanted you to listen to them. They want you to meet them where they are. And I try to do that. But also I like to be upfront sometime and say there's certain things I can do and there are certain things I can't do. So I'm upfront, transparent before, instead of, ensuring that, given a false perception that I can solve an issue, I always try to say, okay, here's what the policy says. Let's talk a little bit more about what you like to see happen. And in that case, if it can't happen, I'll tell them up front, well, probably can't go there, but let's talk about where there is possibility that we can do something. But I think a little bit of compassion and listening goes a long way with balancing HR and policies.
Yeah, I just had this conversation earlier about, every department has different needs and roles, right? And so, for example, you mentioned an equity lens, but there's, if I could say this, like limits to that because, like, for example, not everyone can work remotely. I was just at a conference where someone like catalogs books, and so she can't do that from home unless she takes home all the books, and their district is getting rid of the remote work, and that's, something that a lot of folks are not happy about, but it's just we have different roles, and so we have to be reasonable, I think, too. And there's, like you said, there's balance and boundaries. So, so a kind of follow-up question to that is what do you wish more employees knew about HR and how HR can support them, specifically at College of Marin?
One, I think if they don't know already that we have amazing HR professionals, which I've already mentioned, that's they're just amazing. If people got the if and I know we're up at IVC and we're not on the Kentfield campus, but there's amazing professionals in there that really have been doing this work for a really long time, and they're very expert in it. To the point I use them as expert in some of my requests. But I think the biggest thing is that we are people and we are here to help. And we would love for people to read our website. We put so much work into providing resources online for employees. And that was done intentionally because when we moved from Kentfield to IVC, we knew we weren't going to be accessible in person. So we had to find different ways to ensure employees still can get what they needed from us. There is a lot of self-service you can do online that, and I'm sure IT department can speak more about it. There's a lot of things you can do, like change your address, your phone number, and all that thing, all those things online. There is a lot of focus, especially around professional development. I sit on the professional development committee, and a lot of our focus is around classified professionals. It's a perfect example is the leadership program that we just launched this last month. As well as the EEO plan. If employees read the EEO plan, there's a lot of things in there about some of the directions the district is going to go to. I will say we have classified professionals on EEO Advisory Council that is, they've been there for years, have been great contribution to some of the things that we've been trying to implement throughout our district. And I think just we probably don't have all the answers, but we could guide you to the appropriate people to help if we don't have those answers. We do try to lead with ensuring that people have what they need before we end up, before they leave our conversations, whether it's via Zoom, in person. We try to make sure they have the clear directions when they leave our offices. And then just there's opportunities to build more relationship with us. I think sometimes, because in some ways when obviously we can be a little siloed in a way. But I think there's always opportunities to reach out to staff and just to our to the HR staff and just ask questions related to what do I need to do to get this? What do I need to do? Especially if you can't find that information online. So we do try to make ourselves accessible quite a bit virtually, as well as physically when people come into our office. Other than that, I think for me personally, if someone have questions around career advancement, career development, I do offer that. Like I do, one of the things I lead is a workshop with Dr. Eldridge on a career advancement. And at the end of that workshop, we always offer people to come and meet with us to talk about their career path and what they want to do and so forth. So that is a service I do offer for employees who are interested in advancing their careers, whether it's within the college or externally. I don't have a preference. I don't mind helping people who want to better move forward, move up the career ladder in their careers here at the college.
Awesome. And you might be getting some but thank you for
That's
offering that.
fine.
I think that's great. I think a few of us will probably take you up on the offer. At least a few of us. So what keeps you grounded when things get stressful or uncertain?
I would say my faith.
Hmm.
My faith keeps me grounded, as well as my family. Like I have a very close family. I have five siblings, and we have a group chat, and it's an interesting group chat. I'm gonna just say that we have a group chat, but it's also one of those things where you have them. How do I say this? Like they're at all you have to do is text, and you will get immediate response from a family member, especially if you're going through something. I do try to talk to a sibling no matter what. I do not go a day without talking to one of my siblings. That's kind of what keep me grounded. Just also my significant other is a very pivotal person in my life that I rely on heavily for things, as well as my staff. Like if they know I'm inundated with something and got something coming going on, I get pop into my doors. I get, can I help you with anything today? Or do you need anything from me? Or is there something you need me to do? And I think just having that, it's just so supportive. It just makes things easier when you are trying to figure out how to deal with, especially a very sensitive and tough situation. So I do feel very fortunate to have all those support systems in my life that help me stay grounded.
Wonderful. Because I think that speaks to, every person needs to kind of find where their kind of wellness hub is, or like you say, support system, because we need, especially when you're dealing with a lot of people issues, which obviously you do, like, not that you vent out, obviously you can't, right? But they're, maybe just separate yourself from the work a little bit. And it sounds like all the different, folks you mentioned, really you can lean on them, even if it's just to like, hey, I had a bad day, or like whatever you want to, like, let's talk about
Yeah,
something,
not even going into
anything.
detail. Yeah, I'd just be like, oh, let's talk about something. Or did you like, will somebody send a meme or a reel from Instagram or something? And we'd like joking that it just takes your mind off what you're dealing with and you're just having a break.
Just reminds us that we do all need to give ourselves breaks, even if our work is intense, So I'm just trying to see, we have a little bit of time left. If you could have coffee with any leader, assuming you drink coffee, past and present, who would it be and why?
I struggle with the word leader only because if I can have coffee with anyone, it would be my mom. And she passed away when I was 8 years old. And I consider her a leader because she was the head of my, she was my mom. And the little time I did have with her on Earth, I would love to talk to her and just ask her about life and would my life look different if she was here still? And, there's all these questions that I have that I wish I could ask. And so there's no, I don't think there's anyone, whether you're a leader or not, that I would take over having coffee with my mom.
That's very special. Thank you for sharing that. Let's see. I'm just trying to think. Has there been a piece of advice that has stuck with you throughout your career?
There has been, there's a lot of, one of the things I will say is what stuck out to me when I worked at Delta Airlines in the transportation industry. But, and just to let you all know, I don't know if anyone has worked in the transportation industry, especially working with an airline, they never close. There's 365 days a year. In order for you to take time off, you have to swap with other people, work more shifts. It was an interesting experience. But the airline industry taught me a lot because they focused on customer service. And one of the things they focused on in our training, it was drilled in us, is see the person, not the disability, or see the person, not the behavior. And every time someone come with an issue, whether it's good news, bad news, indifferent, I try to see the person and not what they're saying, but see, hear them, listening to them, understanding them, taking in what they're asking, seeing what I can do. So immediately my mind is trying to really give them my full undivided attention, where I hear them out and they feel heard. And I might not, one of the things I know is I might not get a smile on someone, excuse me, face every time they leave my office, but my goal is to feel confident and good of what I shared, where they can take that to be able to address whatever issue it is. I think showing up for people and meeting them where they are is probably the best advice I've ever received. Because I think that is where you're able to really connect with people and they feel comfortable coming to you with things. Now that can have some disadvantages too, because when people get comfortable, it can sometimes you can take on a lot. So you have to kind of create some structure around that. But in actuality, that is how, that's one of the ways I lead. I lead with seeing the person, and trying to really understand where they're coming from and giving them the benefit of the doubt, not immediately jump into a conclusion or something that I haven't looked into. I really try to give this whole neutrality when they come to me, and really try to take it from there before doing, instead of doing the back end of, reacting versus being proactive.
I think that speaks to just the success of your work and your time here, because again, like we were talking about HR, people have different kind of ideas, correct or incorrect, and I don't think compassion is the first thing that comes to mind, and so I think I just really appreciate how you've kind of referred, ex exemplified that, just with your stories and your experiences and just how you work and interact with your staff and the college. So just wanted to point that out, that stood out to me, that yes, we're all human beings, and sometimes with all the different issues and differences, we kind of forget that, and it's important to come back to that we're human before we are any of our other roles, right?
And
And
I
I think
always say that because you don't know what people are going through. You don't know what they're going through in their personal lives. it could be impacting their professional life and what's going on at work. I think just sitting down and talk, hey, what's going on? Is everything okay? Just asking if somebody's okay, I think goes a long way with people. And I think that's seeing them first before you get to, the business side of it. But I do think that helps. That helps. It also helps tapers the conversations too, like how it leads, where it's going to lead to, because everyone's human. Sometimes when something goes, I will say one of the things I've experienced is when something is heated or if something is contentious, people sometimes are reactive. And my goal is to get them to not be reactive. So immediately I try to bring that down first and just have somebody sometimes just take a breath. I sometimes say Kuna Matata. Kuna Matata. Let's just say that three, four times, and then let's talk. Tell me what happened. And I think that really goes a long way with people. And I would love to see that happen more in a workplace, and not just at the college, but just across the board.
So we like to, close out each podcast with kind of some wrap-up questions. What advice would you give to your younger self? And what's one thing you want classified employees to remember from this conversation?
The one thing I would advice I give myself when I was younger is don't sweat the small stuff. Because in the end, everything is a temporary situation. Everything is sometime in our when you're in something, it can look big, but when you take a step back, it's not. And I think I would have loved to known that when I was younger. So I think that not sweating the small stuff and making mistakes are okay as long as you learn from them. And that's something really instill in my staff here at the college is we're going to make mistakes. It's not that things were intentional. And let's talk about how we're going to create safeguards to avoid mistakes in the future. Don't beat yourself up. We are human, just kind of reminding ourselves we're human and we're going to make mistakes. We're not perfect. It's how we respond to those mistakes that I think helps you learn and grow and develop in your role. And what was the last one?
Second question is, what's one thing, one or a few things you want classified employees to remember from this conversation?
Well, that last one I just said is one. I will say both. Don't sweat the small stuff. And we're going to make mistakes. We're human. It's very important that we learn that whatever that mistake is, you learn from it. The advice I will give classified employees is if there is an opportunity for you to strengthen your any skill set, or if you challenge with a something you've never done before and you don't know anything about it, there's sometimes there's fear come in and like, oh my God, I don't know. This is gonna, look at that as an opportunity.
We lost your audio there for a minute.
No.
Oh, now I can hear you.
Okay. I was saying look at mistakes as opportunities. Look at different new policies and procedures that come open that you have to actually implement it. Look at all of those as learning opportunities because guess what? Those things can help propel you in your future, whether it's learning and development, career advancement. Things you can put on your resume, things you can actually put in your performance eval. There's always opportunity to learn. We are a learning institution, right? And sometimes we so focus on the mission, which is our goal, but we also are part of the mission. And that fit and mission is learning and getting, of course, our students through. But I think there is opportunities to really build different skill sets with different things you face in your roles here. And I think that's something that I employ all classified employees to take look at it a little differently. I mean, it could be challenging, but look at it as, you know what, I'm going to do this the best I can and learn from it. And that way I can use this later in whatever my goals are.
Great. I think I'm just reminded, no matter what happens, because a lot of things are out of our control, we have to remember to kind of take a step back, like kind of pause, be like, okay, this too shall pass, or I can deal with this, maybe I need to ask for help or get some resources, because I think sometimes you're right, we are quick to react. But we need to kind of take a moment to think, how should I respond in this situation, and kind of evaluate, like, what lens am I using? Am I, because it sounds like it requires some changing of lenses sometimes to stay positive, or to like see the positive where it's like maybe not obvious. So.
The pivoting is important. I do think one of the things any organization struggles with is change, right? And when things are changing around you and you have no control, it can immediately create different feelings and emotions and anxiety and different levels of your state of wellness. And you have to find balance with that. And sometimes that's very challenging to do. But taking a step back and looking at it as an opportunity will definitely change how you respond to those things.
So I've really enjoyed our conversation, Nikki. Thank you for sharing, so much, and just thank you again for your time and all your advice. And I'm going to invite Briar to close out our podcast. Let me spotlight her, and I think she'll announce our next event.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, Nikki, thank you so much. It's just always such a pleasure to be able to have these types of conversations, and for everyone else, I just encourage you to check out any of our past podcasts on our website. And Sally, I am spacing on the dates for our we've got some really fun stuff coming up. We have an ice cream social and some entertainment happening at IBC on July 29th, I believe. And we are here at Kent Field on the next day, on July 30th. So please come out and have some ice cream and have some fun with us. It is open to absolutely everybody. So, Nikki, I hope you'll be there as well. And let's see, what else do we have going on? If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to Sally or myself. Thank you all so much for being here. We really appreciate you, and have a really wonderful rest of the week.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.